Can you guys hear me okay? This is as loud as I can talk, I think. So, all right. We are doing a one-off message today. I know I like to do series, but it's been a weird month. We've had a guest last week, and we've got Pastor Phil next week. So this is our kind of like our Thanksgiving message, even though it's a week early. We're going to have our Thanksgiving meal together next week. So we'll just go ahead and have a sermon this week. But we're calling it Thanksgiving on Repeat. So along those lines, have you ever had a song stuck in your head before? Okay, I'm not the only one, right? It just plays on repeat in your mind and you catch yourself singing it all the time. And chances are, you know, the song changes from time to time. But regardless, I'll have a song stuck in my head and it just repeats over and over. And the worst is when it's a song you've only heard once or twice. Right, so you don't know the words, so you just kind of make up the words as you go, or you just end up humming this melody, and you're like, "Where in the world have I heard this?" Right, and you can never get it out. Sometimes to get the song out of my head, I just have to play it on repeat until I make myself sick of it. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, I know. We are the weird ones, at least, right? Not just me. I've got a couple friends out there. I love it. So we're 11 days away from Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving also comes with a lot of repetition, right? Lots of food that we repeat every year. The turkey, the stuffing, mashed potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce, the sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, pumpkin pie. I think I covered most of the traditional ones, right? Maybe your family has some foods that are a little more interesting than just the basic ones. But the point is that there are foods at Thanksgiving that we would be devastated if they didn't get repeated every year. Now, maybe you have a Thanksgiving memory that you wish you could relive. Maybe it's football in the backyard, or maybe a trip to your grandparents' house. Whatever it may be, there's lots of things around Thanksgiving that we wish we could just repeat all year long. Now, personally, I love Thanksgiving. Anybody else love Thanksgiving? All right, cool. I just wish it was in like January or February. Don't you guys? You know, it's really cold and gray, and it's hard to be thankful for anything at that point. Why does it have to be so close to Christmas? I've not heard one Thanksgiving song in any store yet this year. You guys? They just blow right by it. It's almost like it just gets shoved in as this afterthought, right? Thanksgiving is a great holiday because it reminds us to pause and reflect and count our blessings. And it's a good thing to have this built-in boundary, these lines where no schools are open and businesses are closed, and we can have downtime and we can have space that we need to think and without being hypnotized by our work computer or by our phones or by our tablets if we're at school. And even though it's November, you're probably weary from a busy summer and all the work and family responsibilities, and we've just started heading into these cold months. But being thankful and practicing gratitude is what's going to help get us through that. So Thanksgiving reminds us that everything's going to be all right because Jesus is going to bring about resurrection in our lives. Have you ever had a time in your life where gratitude got you through a really tough situation? I hope so. Maybe you lost a job and the only thing that took the sting off was focusing on what you did have, right? A family, a house, car, food, and so on. Gratitude is so important in the life of a follower of Jesus, and it really always has been. Gratitude can change your perspective. It can help you overcome anxiety. It can literally change the way that you live. So we're going to look at gratitude kind of in a different way today, through taking a peek into the sacrificial system that God set up for the Israelites in the book of Leviticus. How many of you think Leviticus when you hear Thanksgiving? Anybody? No, me either, right? It's going to be interesting. Sorry. In the book of Leviticus, Moses talks about many different laws and sacrifices and offerings, and one of those was called a fellowship or a peace offering. There were two types of offerings, and one was for sins to be forgiven. Basically, if you had sinned, you needed to make amends with whoever you've wronged, and then you would get the priest involved, and you would go buy or bring in whatever animal would fit your status or your income level or even your offense. And then you would kill that animal and you would burn it as a sacrifice to God. And you can read about all the gory details in Leviticus chapters 1, 2, and 4. It'll tell you all of it in more detail than you would like. The other type of offering that we're going to talk about today was the peace or fellowship offering. Now, this was a voluntary sacrifice. It wasn't required. And in the Old Testament, the Israelites expressed their deep need for God through this sacrificial system. And ultimately, it pointed to the future of Jesus being the perfect sacrifice to end all other sacrifices. Now, the fellowship or peace offering was voluntary. It wasn't required. It was essentially an offering of thanksgiving. And so there are four reasons that you might make this peace offering. I say you, I mean a run-of-the-mill Israelite in the Old Testament. Four reasons that one would make these offerings. The first one is thanksgiving, basically to say thank you for unsought generosity or for God doing something good for us even though we didn't ask for it. So how quick are you to give God the credit when something good happens that you didn't deserve? When we really think about it, this unsought generosity from God, it happens to us all the time. We hardly ever deserve good things that happen to us, but God works so much for good in our lives, and we probably don't thank Him enough for it. This is why we should pray before each meal, thanking God that we have an opportunity to eat, because a lot of the world isn't, getting that opportunity when we sit down to eat. We should be thanking God for all kinds of things in our life. Safe place to sleep, reliable transportation, activities, hobbies, friends. Right? That's just the start of the list. We have so many things to be thankful for, and we tend to take these things for granted. And He's been so generous to us. And even if we're poor, even if we've lost someone we love, even if we're struggling, we have so many reasons to praise God. And so that was the sentiment behind the first reason for this thanksgiving offering, thanking God for the ways that they were blessed without even asking. Now, the second one is kind of a weird one, but it's thanksgiving in times of desperate need. Thanksgiving in times of desperate need. How many of you have cried out to God in a desperate time? I would hope so, right? That's kind of like one of the top three benefits of being a Christian is you have a God to call upon when you need Him. We can be quick to petition God when we have a big need, but often our first response isn't thank you, right? It's God, I need you. I need this. I'm struggling, whatever. Offerings that they were giving was a thank you, even though we have this need. Oftentimes we go to God in our pain for Him to fix it, but what we really need to remember is that He's got us. He's never going to let us go. God is sovereign. He wins in the end. There you go. So God understands suffering, right? Jesus suffered, and we have a big need. We can still come to God with an attitude of gratitude. We can still approach Him with thankfulness. And so that's what these Israelites were doing in this type of offering. They were saying, when it was given in desperate need, they were thanking God and then bringing that need to Him. The third thing is alongside a fulfilled vow. So an example of this would be in 1 Samuel when Hannah vowed to give her son back in service to God. Do you remember this? If God gave her a son, Hannah was going to give him back in service. And so after God fulfilled that vow, she took Samuel to Shiloh after he was weaned, and she made a peace offering there. For us, when God answers prayers that we've prayed, do we remember to stop and thank Him, or do we quickly go back to being self-reliant? It's an easy trap to fall into, right? We ask God for something and it happens, and we're like, all right, cool, thanks God, see you later, right? I'm good on my own. This is part of that was combating that need for self-reliance. It was a thanks offering for a fulfilled vow. And then the last one, when the Israelites wanted to eat meat, they would do this sometimes. And that's okay, right? I mean, it wasn't just as simple as that, but since the peace offering was the only sacrifice that the Israelites could eat, right? You couldn't eat a sin offering. It wasn't allowed. And so you had to kill the animal and burn it. This one, you would cook this offering for God, and then they were allowed to eat it. So every time the Israelites wanted to eat meat for dinner, they could offer this fellowship or peace or thanksgiving offering. This was a form of celebration, of community and thanksgiving for what God has done. It's a lot like how we do Thanksgiving today. For the Israelites, though, this is happening way more than once a year. So we're going to read about this in Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 18. It says this: "These are the regulations for the fellowship offering. Anyone may present to the Lord. If they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour, well kneaded and mixed, and with oil mixed in. Along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. They are to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who splashes the blood of the fellowship offering against the altar. The meat of their fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it until morning. If, however, their offering is the result of a vow or is free will offering, the sacrifice shall be eaten on the day they offer it, but anything left over may be eaten on the next day. Any meat of the sacrifice left over till the third day must be burned up. If any meat of the fellowship offering is eaten on the third day, the one who offered it will not be accepted. It will be reckoned to their credit, and for it has become impure. The person who eats any of it will be held responsible." So, it sounds a lot like our Thanksgiving, except for the whole leftovers is kind of the best part, right? They don't get to, if I would be in trouble if this rule still applied, right? I've eaten turkey sandwiches on the third day before. It would be, we'd be in big, big trouble. But could you imagine Any time you wanted to thank God, or eat some meat even, going out and grabbing your kid's favorite goat and, well, you know the rest, right? You can read about it in chapters 1, 2, and 4 if you don't. Again, lots of blood splashing talk. It's really gross. We live in a world that is far removed from the Israelites, what they were dealing with in this sacrificial system. Thank God, right? Thank God we don't have to do that anymore. Now, personally, we raise a lot of our own meat as a family, and I think it's noble to be involved in the process of food and where it comes from. And we send pigs to the butcher once a year. We even butcher our own chickens once or twice a year. And it's hard work, but it's worth the reward. However, having to do that every time I wanted to say thanks to God, I'm so glad I live in the New Testament side of time. I know these sacrifices can feel so foreign and maybe even barbaric to us. And in reading Leviticus, it may feel like God made so many rules, and then at the end there, rules about the rules, right? It was a lot. It was kind of overwhelming. Those last few verses we read, what the Israelites could and couldn't do with the leftover meat may feel excessive. And God had so many rules in place about each individual sacrifice as a sort of built-in safeguard against that mindless ritual. They had no choice but to be thorough and pay attention to what they were doing, pay attention to the process which God had laid out. Now, inevitably, this would turn their minds and their words and their actions toward God. So, when you're putting your mind and your words and your actions towards God or towards something, what follows those things? Your heart, right? If I'm putting all the rest of myself into something, my heart tends to follow that. And I think the reality is that God all along wants his people's hearts, not their rituals. But having them go through all this strict ritual allowed them to put their body and mind and hearts into their offering. It's pretty easy to go through the motions, isn't it? As a Christian, we can, well, I guess in life in general, but to treat our Christian walk, we know with pretty high confidence that rituals is not what God was after. Because we've read the New Testament, right? All this ritual ended up being what the Pharisees turned into legalism, and then Jesus ends up coming to overturn these systems, right? He's the once and for all sacrifice, and he does that to bring people back to the heart of the Father. And God doesn't want us to say a prayer before dinner because we always do it, or he doesn't want us to go through the motion of that. He wants us to thank him because he is worthy, because it changes us, because thanking him reminds us that God's got it. It draws our hearts nearer to him. So what areas have you been going through the motions lately? What in your walk with Jesus are you doing just because you should and not out of love and gratitude? Gratitude's a great source for our actions to come from. There are several studies that have shown gratitude can decrease your stress. It can better your relationships. It can even improve your sleep quality and duration. So better sleep, longer. And it can make you more content with the stuff you have. Now, I don't think this is a coincidence that science just happened upon, right? I think God designed us to be this way. We are generally much more happy and content when we operate from a source of gratitude. So what does that mean for us and for Thanksgiving? We saw this, well, we saw what this voluntary thanks offering meant for the Israelites when they used it. And now we're going to talk about what this passage means in Leviticus for us, for our lives today. So we're going to pull three implications about Thanksgiving today. Now, the first one is that wholeness comes from Jesus. Wholeness comes from Jesus. We forget that a lot. Thankfulness helps us remember. This Hebrew word for peace offering is selamah, and it has the connotation of wholeness or completeness. Because of the innocent blood of these animals that was shed during this ritual sacrifice, the relationship of God and the Israelites was at peace, right? They were complete. They were whole. Maybe sometimes you feel empty, as if something were missing, or our culture pounds it into our heads that the goal of life is for you to live as your truest self, right? That's what it takes for you to be fulfilled. You do you and you'll be happy. Or the more money and things that we can accumulate, that's what's going to make us fulfilled. But it isn't working. Statistics say that we are the most anxious and depressed people in all of human history, even though we have it the easiest and we have the most, right? Not talking about America in general or you in this room, but like the developed world, right? We are the most anxious and depressed we've ever been in human history. Have you ever tried to find fulfillment by chasing money or stuff? Yeah? Think, oh, if I can get that thing or this amount of money, everything will be better, right? How did it go? Did you find that you only wanted more money and stuff? Yeah. Chasing self-fulfillment and stuff leaves us empty and incomplete. We're only going to find peace and wholeness and completeness when we worship and thank the God who made us. When we become his children, we are living as we were created to live. In other words, what you're chasing after can only be found in relationship with Jesus. He is where the wholeness and completeness comes from. And Thanksgiving is a good reminder of that. The second thing we can talk about out of this passage is that when you realize that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, our response is thankfulness. So Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and our response is thankfulness. So we no longer need to bring offerings to a tabernacle or a temple, right? Because Jesus paid our sin offering once and for all. So now Christians are God's temple. Because Jesus took on our sin when he died, he was separated from God. That's why we read about him sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he knew that he was going to be separated from God, and that was going to be literal hell for him. And because he took our sin and God's wrath on himself, the stuff that we deserved, we are now holy. We are now saints, righteous, justified. A suitable dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Sit with that for a minute. Let that sink in. You are the house of the Holy Spirit of God. How might that change the way you live? How might that change the way you treat yourself? How much confidence does that give you, knowing that the power of God is inside of you, helping you accomplish any mission that he has given you? I want to make something clear. You are not saved by your good works, right? Your ability to follow the Bible perfectly is not what has saved you. It's not by avoiding sin or by writing in a gratitude journal or attending church or saying thank you enough or reading your Bible. You are justified by grace, by getting what you didn't deserve, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8 says that God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. The New Testament simply illuminates how Jesus was the fulfillment of all the things that God spoke in the Old Testament. This whole sacrificial system, the New Testament is just talking of the fulfillment of that. See what Romans 12:1 says, and this is the NLT version, so it's going to sound a little different than what you've probably have it memorized as, but this is what Romans 12:1 says about the kind of sacrifice that we now offer since Jesus has shed his blood for us. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So we don't have to offer bulls and goats and sheep or grain or oil to God anymore. We offer him our lives. He is in the driver's seat. It's not our default, right? It's hard to get to that place, but that's why it's an offering. We lay down our lives every day as a living sacrifice and let him lead because he laid down his life for us. You don't have to keep grinding or hustling or working for your worth. The shame about your past or your current reality or sin don't have the final word. Jesus is the final word. We just have to keep showing up every day and offering ourselves to him. He will do the heavy lifting of making you more like Jesus. You don't have to transform yourself, right? You just have to let the Holy Spirit do that work within you. So Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Our response is thankfulness. Number three, thankfulness didn't start with us, and it won't end with us. Thankfulness didn't start with us, and it won't end with us. Thanksgiving and feasting didn't start with the pilgrims, and it won't end with us on Turkey Day either. We will one day all feast with Jesus. The idea of harvest was God's, and God likes to party. He likes to feast, and the Bible teaches us that on an unknown day and an unknown hour, that Jesus is going to come back for a second time and bring eternal peace to people who have a relationship with him as their Savior, right? A peace offering, eternal wholeness, completeness. And Scripture says that day is going to be a party. I promise you, this will not be $10 a plate wedding food, right? We've all been, ours was probably one of those too, right? It's not going to be the pasta with no meat. It's going to be real, real, incredible food. Revelation 19:6-7 says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb." Who is the Lamb? Yeah, in Leviticus, right, it was literally a lamb, a poor little lamb, right? But Jesus was the true and better Lamb, the perfect sacrifice for your sin and mine. He's fully God, fully man. We're going to get to eat. We're going to eat good with Jesus, the Messiah. It's going to be the biggest party, and I want you there with me. So, what do we do with all this? We thank God, right? We thank God on repeat, not just on Thanksgiving, but all throughout the year. You reorient everything about your life to be a living sacrifice. You worship God and not yourself. You pour yourself out on behalf of others so that they can hear about this incredible love that God has for them. You set aside time to practice Sabbath, remembering what God has done for you. He is offering the world wholeness again. So as we head into Thanksgiving this year, let this be the start of an entire year of continual thanksgiving and gratitude. Let us live out the gratefulness of what God has done for us and be the living sacrifice that we're called to be. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you. We can't say thank you enough. Words don't come close. God, as we go about our week and about this Thanksgiving season and this entire year. Help us to be living sacrifices. God, there's only one offering left, and it's the thanks offering. You have made the sin offering once and for all. So help us to be living sacrifices of that thanks offering. Help us to lay down our lives for you every day as a thank you for what you've done. God, help us to be people who operate out of gratitude, not self-fulfillment, but allowing your Holy Spirit to dwell within us and fulfill us in a way that only you can. Help us not to chase after money or things. Help us to be so grateful and thankful for what we do have, because there's so much to be thankful for. Help us to pause and remember when you've answered prayers. Help us to recognize when you've done stuff without asking. Help us to approach you in an attitude and a mindset of thanksgiving, not just these coming weeks, but all year long. God, we can't thank you enough for everything you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing. Our altars here are always open. If you feel like God's been speaking to you and you need to respond, it's a great place to do it. Just stand with us. Just use these next few moments to respond, reflect, and worship God.